And Peter, I'm Mary Rose. I'm the one who's been writing to you. I'm sorry. I've got my camera turned around.
Looks like a bowl of fruit, but she's
That's
really
right. The camera turned around and was looking at apples.
No, I was kind of looking around. Where is she? Where is she?
I know, but thank you again very much for responding so quickly, and welcome.
Well, thank you again. I'm really, really honored to be here. So.
Great.
So welcome to Women Explore. This is our spring lecture and discussion series, and it's also our 50th anniversary. And I'd like you all to mute, getting some feedback. Thank you. It's our 50th anniversary, and our slogan is 50 years and still exploring. But this is our last 10 weeks together as a formal lecture and discussion group. So we have created a series together that honors Liz Dotson Gray and the woman that she was who led us for 32 years. She's an eco-feminist, someone who loved the earth and was an activist on behalf of the earth and explored all the ways that we are harming the earth and need to change that. She was a very strong voice for the divine feminine and really just loved what she loved and lived how she spoke. And we trying to make a series that she would be proud of. So welcome. This is our sixth in our series of 10. And we have always tried to create something that was thoughtful, original, and provocative. So join in today. Our schedule is from 11:30 to 12 will be a focus. This is one of Liz's inventions where somebody speaks personally about the topic and sort of leads the way into our formal presentation. And then that lasts from 12 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, we open up for group discussion. All of us getting to have a discussion with the person who focused and with the person who presented. So we are here on to make Liz proud and to keep doing what we do. So our topic today is the path of eco-intimacy and co-creation, engaging and healing our world. And Liz would have just loved this. And our guest speaker is Peter Wohl, but we will begin with our focus. And I'm doing the focus today and asked Martha to read my little bio. So if you do that, Martha.
I am honored to introduce the inventor of the focusing. Linda comes to this time in her life with decades of experience co-creating rituals, events, ceremonies, honorings, and life stage gatherings. This is her love and her devotion. She is, of course, delighted when a call comes, inviting her to be in service to beauty, Mother Earth, story, and sacred play and remembering. Today brings an opportunity to tell of one such time. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Martha. Yes, you know, Peter, the title that you offered us or that you and Mary Rose came up with together, however that got invented, inspired me that this was the time to tell this particular story. So it's a way to explore your topic of eco-intimacy and co-creation and, you know, engaging and healing the world through a very surprising door. And that was not even imaginable to me 6 months ago. So in this case, the call came from, it actually came as a text number that I didn't recognize, so I erased it. And then it came as an email with a call from a woman named Zoe. And this was in early November of last year. And Zoe is a young woman in her late 20s, 28. And she was calling me, and I knew Zoe, but in fact, I hadn't heard from Zoe for over 14 years. So it was a surprise call. And let me tell you who Zoe is first. I am part of a earth-based group of women, a large group of women who have been together, you know, almost 30 years, and we make celebrations and actions on behalf of the earth, and we create ceremonies that create a stronger relationship between us and the earth and raise our awareness and our intimacy with the earth and with our bodies and the earth. And Zoe's mother is part of that group. So I knew Zoe when she was growing inside of her mother, and we were dancing together in circles. And then Zoe became part of different ceremonies we would do, Beltane ceremonies out on the field, and working with children and their connection to nature and taking them through walks in the woods. And then Zoe was part of what we call at Women's Lodge a maiden group, where Zoe's mother and I co-led this group for 3 years with mothers and their daughters, and the journey from about age 10 to 13. And much of that involved being out in nature and learning from nature. Like one time we brought the girls to the side of the ocean at low tide, and then they brought all kinds of colored sand, and they each made a beautiful drawing about their lives, something in their lives. And then we stayed long enough to watch the tide come in and disappear the drawing. And then we sat in groups together and talked about what did nature have to teach us about loss, and is beauty worth making even when it's lost, and what were they learning, what touched them. It was an amazing afternoon. And so this is the last time I knew Zoe was when the group had their final ceremony and the girls were off into their adolescence. And I hadn't heard from her since then. So Zoe was calling me, and her message to me was that my name kept coming to her. And Zoe said, so I decided to call you and see what that was about. And she said her love of clothing and fashion began when she was a very little girl. And I knew she was still in that world. She would go to the dollar a pound place in Cambridge and buy a whole bunch of discarded clothing, and she'd cut them up and repurpose them and sew them and make clothes. And this was her passion. And I knew through her mother that she grew up to be someone who went to Parsons School of Design, got her master's, went to Paris, went to Italy, went to London. She was really working her love. But I didn't know any more than that. So when Zoe called, we talked and we caught up a little bit. And what I found out was that Zoe's journey in the fashion world very much reflects her love of nature and how she was raised by her family. She's from Scotland. She's been to the Standing Stones there. Her brother went to Atlantic College in Bar Harbor, studying ecology and conservation. And so it was deep in her bones. So what she's bringing to the fashion world, she told me, was she only makes clothing with recycled fabrics, fabrics that are either have been discarded or reused, recycled. Everything is made by hand. There's no mass production. She works in all natural fabrics. She asks nothing of the earth besides what's already been given. And she puts no plastic back into the earth. And she uses a lot of patterns from nature in the embroidery and in the designs that she makes, and a lot of the curves and feeling of nature. And her vision was to create clothing that is not a trend. She didn't want clothing that, oh, this is hot this year and next year it's in the discard bin. She wanted to create clothing that felt so good and so right on people's bodies that they treasured it as a beloved piece of clothing, not as something to impress anybody, not as something to fit into the latest trends, not as something to get tired of, but something that their body loved and that they loved and that they would keep for years and years. And she said, and I'm trying to bring this vision into the fashion world, which is very, very different from this. And so she said, I keep wanting to do, she's doing her debut show during Fashion Week this past February, just a couple of months ago, in New York City. And she said, I want my runway to be a labyrinth. And I said, and it just stopped me. I just didn't expect her to say that. And she said, yeah, I want it to be a labyrinth, and I want the lines of the labyrinth to be earth. And I want everybody to go slow and to take in this new way of being with clothing and this new understanding that if we aren't in good relationship with the earth, then we can't be doing fashion. And she said, and I'm ready to take the risk to do this in front of the world that comes to Fashion Week. And I do have plenty of people who support me. So I was listening to her and sort of saying, whoa, here she's 28 years old and she's willing to become a change agent and she's willing to risk the fashion world saying, no, this is, you know, making fun of her, panning her, all the things that can happen when you do something that visibly. But it so resonated with values that I have around how do we live with the earth and tend the earth and be very mindful of what we take and what we put back in and how it can be received and can it be received at all, as in polyester cannot be received. So I felt this yes resonating in me when she said, will you work on this project with me? Will you talk about it with me? And so we entered into our collaboration. We collaborated on Zoom and on phone calls. And then she came here. Her mother lives in Salem, so she visited here over Christmas, and we had a meeting together. And we talked about labyrinths and about what her meaning was about that, because a labyrinth is something that you walk in very mindfully, very prayerfully, meditation mode, and you walk in and you walk into the center and you think you're at the center and then you move back out again and then you think you're at the center, and all that time you contemplate what you might let go of, what you might let go of into the center, and then what you might want to bring out with you when you leave. And so she wanted to learn more about labyrinths that, from what my experience was. And she had heard that the year before I had helped a group of women take a 6-inch diagram of a 7-channel labyrinth and create a 30-foot labyrinth out of birdseed on a field. So she said, I don't know if that's why I keep thinking of you, but I remember how you were with the earth and the magical feel you had about that relationship. And she said, that's what I want in my show. And so I said, okay. I said, you know, Zoe, I will help you. I will do anything I can to help you. We are about 50 years difference in age, but I am resonating with your vision. It's very exciting to me that you're taking this step. And I, you know, let me know. And then she took a deep breath and she said, will you be there? And I said, you mean at Fashion Week? And she's at the show. And she said, yes, will you be there? And I said yes, and having not traveled anywhere since the pandemic started, I knew that would mean I was going on the train to New York City and being at the show and all of that, but that didn't seem to matter. I just so wanted to support this young woman and her vision, the step that she was taking in her late 20s to make a change in a field she loved. She's loved fashion, but I could see that she was never subsumed by the way of fashion. She was doing it her way, and it was all through this lens of taking care of the earth and being really mindful. And so I said yes, and we worked some more. She created a labyrinth. I don't know if you can see how well you can see, but this is the labyrinth that she created. It's unusual in that you go in, but when you get to the center, then you exit immediately, because she felt in the runway that it wouldn't work to be brushing next to each other. And so it's an interesting labyrinth. So this is, you know, our 8-inch drawing. And my job was to come to New York and transmit that drawing onto 4 20 by 20 cotton duck cloth panels and then sew them together. And so she knew that if I could do that with birdseed, I could do that on the cloth. And we did it in pencil so that then it could be covered by earth. So I arrived on a Wednesday and spent all day Thursday and Friday in a studio. And it was very hard work. the studio wasn't big enough to spread out one 20 by 20 panel. And so I just had to keep doing it and keep working it in my mind and with the math of it. And, you know, labyrinths are very ancient. They come from some of the patterns in nature. So it felt just right. And the young people I met, I have such hope from the young people I met. They worked beautifully together. They were all in the studio working on production and publicity and program and photography. They were in their 20s and their 30s. They were always searching for ways to use things that had already been available. When we wanted to find out where do we get earth to cover these lines for the 30-foot labyrinth, they were on Craigslist. They were everywhere they could find. Does anyone have some soil they've dug from their ground or landfill that they want to give to us? And the research and the effort, and they were in harmony with each other. There was no fighting. There was no ego. There was no competition. There was only supporting Zoe's vision, which clearly aligned with all of their vision. So I spent, you know, went the first day on my hands and knees for about 10 to 12 hours and tried to draw this labyrinth on these four big panels. And then the second day I sat in the studio and sewed them all together by hand. And each model, meanwhile, kept arriving and they were given a handout about what a labyrinth is and the meditation of a labyrinth and the connection to the earth that the labyrinth offers. And they were given a hand labyrinth to start to practice the movement of the labyrinth and how to slow down and how to be with it. Each model was asked to pick the clothing they wanted to wear. Zoe tended each one as if they were a flower in a garden. It was really beautiful. And it was constantly surprising. They were producing this like right sort of on the spot. And late Friday night, Zoe walks in with hundreds of lunch bags, like brown paper lunch bags like this. And her vision had been to print the program. Now, this is the program for Fashion Week. Vogue magazine's going to be there, Women's Wear Daily, Rolling Stone, anybody who wants to attend, as well as all the people that want to come. She printed the entire program out in the studio on lunch bags. You can't really see it, but there's a labyrinth right here. The names of all the models, the names of her creative statement, all on this bag. And then she says, my vision is that at the end of all the walkway part, all the models are going to stand in a circle and they're going to hold hands and thank the labyrinth and have a moment of silence. And then they're going to turn around to all the people who have attended and sort of say, remember, ask them in their own thinking, remember this experience. Remember what it gave you. And then they all were to gather in a circle around the labyrinth and pull up the edges of the fabric and walk into the center so that now all of the earth that was the lines of the labyrinth was now going to come into the center and make a mound of earth covered by the surrounded by the folds of the fabric. I can give you a picture. This is the labyrinth as it came out. This is a St. Mark's Bowery in Bowery Church in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan. And so this is the 30-foot labyrinth. And this is another view of the church, but from a different, there were two musicians up here, a pianist and a singer that were going to be there. And so that was what we were to create. So we got there Saturday morning, and we worked to lay out the labyrinth, and everyone had jobs and work. It was like a village, all in support of this vision that she had to revision the fashion world in a way that it would honor the relationship with the earth and with the elements of the earth. And she brought frankincense and we blessed this labyrinth and we did some energetic work to protect it and to ask it to bring the energy needed to make real transformation in the world. And then she instructed the models about the labyrinth and helped them learn how to walk and breathe in the labyrinth. And And that happened all morning and into the afternoon. The show was at 5 in the afternoon. So we worked for hours getting ready and preparing the space. And the respect for her and the respect for the message that she was given, and the clothing themselves with all this beautiful embroidery and earth designs and natural fabrics, all reused, nothing taken nothing extra taken. And again, no ego. During the whole show, Zoe never came out. She never introduced herself. She was just offering this. And it was an amazing experience, because as hundreds of people started coming in, they would walk in, and then they would want to naturally cross that floor that I just showed you that was covered with the labyrinth. Except when they would get to the labyrinth, something would stop them. And I was sitting right there watching this happen. And I think maybe two people in the hundreds that came were not stopped by the sight of the labyrinth, the energy of the labyrinth, its presence. It was a very, very felt presence. And the models walked through to this beautiful music, and the programs were handed out, the brown paper lunch bags. And at the end, when they did this, they picked up the edges of the labyrinth and all of them walked to the center. So you had this earth mound in the center. So the labyrinth had been transformed again. And now it was this in the center. The bag said, please take some of this earth home, because you can use it to grow something new where you live. And so again, the message was about, we don't use it and throw it away. We use it with intention. This is earth. It will grow something new for you. It's growing something new in this show. Some people just came into the center and stood in the center for a few minutes and then left, or then took their earth. It was a really very strong energetic center. And after people started leaving, and some of the models came up to me and they said, I have never been in a show like this. There was no drama. There was no trauma. There was no like heightened sort of excitement or that kind of high that we usually see, that's very chaotic too and very hard to be with. He said it was so calm and so grounded. And he said, and I don't even have words for what I experienced when I walk through this labyrinth. He said, but I'll never forget it. And so think of all the seeds that Zoe was planting, literally and figuratively, by just doing this for these 16 models. They really, really loved it. And as well, Zoe's had some interviews, one with Vogue magazine and one with Women's Wear Daily right before the show opened, so at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then there were print things, I think probably Vogue online, Women's Wear Daily online, talked about it. And this risk that Zoe took to do this so differently and to claim who she was and how connected to nature and the earth she was, and how she had a dream that this could be woven in to the fashion world in a way that really worked. This risk that she took worked. Vogue said it was really, they complimented her. They got it. They saw what happened. They talked about her vision and what it meant for low energy and the ethereal energy of the music and the labyrinth and the smell of it. One of them wrote, we walked into the room and we smelled frankincense and earth. And that was our introduction to Zoe's work. So that's the story that I bring to you, that this is a very large group of young people who worked on this show and devoted themselves to it selflessly. And some people in London and other places that Zoe knows, and in New York, that totally supported her vision. And this is a young woman willing to take that risk. And she called me and asked me if I would be part of it. And I felt like, how wonderful that I get to serve her vision. I get to serve her vision with what I know and some experiences that she and I have had and ceremonies over the years. And that all of that was not only allowed to be present at New York Fashion Week in this February, but it was welcomed and enjoyed, and many, many, many seeds were planted about new ways of doing things. So that is the story I bring to do the focus for Peter. I guess we have about 4 more minutes if there are any questions that people want to ask. Yeah, Marcia.
What an exciting story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I was wondering why you were going to New York.
It's
kind of like a secret, you know. And I don't know. I'm almost like wordless thinking about the creativity of you and Zoe and all the other people and working in such harmony. That's what's really beautiful about the story.
That's incredible.
And also that Vogue and other people were open to the concept. Yeah. It almost sounds like a miracle to me. So thank you so much.
That's a good word. That's a good word for it. I think it is a miracle. And I had so much gratitude after, like gratitude to Zoe for willing to be this agent of change, and gratitude for the winds of change that allow something like this to happen, and gratitude for my own body that I could be on my hands and knees for 10 hours and do this and do this for many days straight. And, you know, just my gratitude for all the unseen and seen presences. She very much acknowledged her grandmothers and great grandmothers who are all seamstresses, but who worked in ways that they were not appreciated. And so she's really trying to work on their behalf too. So she calls herself Anna Gustavia Anna Whalen, which are ancestor names too. And so it was a lot of honoring that went on. So I was really, really grateful. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your contribution to her back in the days when she was a girl. That is so beautiful.
Yeah, those seeds are planted as well, right?
Yeah, seeds planted. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? We have a couple more minutes or comments. Susan.
Very quick question. Did the people take the soil home in the paper bags that were the program?
They did.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
It's hard to say how many did. I don't know. I'm sure everybody didn't, but many, many people did. Yeah. And we took all the rest of the earth out to the church garden and spread it around there.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank
Mary Rose.
Lindsay, first, can you tell us Zoe's last name?
Whalen.
W-A-Y?
W-H-E-L-A-N.
Well, you certainly know a lot of very interesting people, that's for sure. And so many on your wavelength, of course, because
that's surprising.
That's what happens. But no, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but the name she uses is Zoe Gustavia Anna Whalen. I don't know what Zoe Whalen will bring up. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Marianne, and then Ivo.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. I was thinking of the talk that Paula's sister gave last year or the year before, I can't remember,
in which
she mentioned that the younger designers were going in a different direction and repurposing clothing, and they had put together some wonderful shows. And here's a specific example. That was really great. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not the only one, but she's the one who is the only one who did a runway to talk about
that's
it.
Great.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Ivo, and then we need to move on to Peter.
Okay. Just speaking of dirt, I couldn't believe the coincidence. Art Bulletin, September 2022, volume 104, number 3, was about Jeffrey Hendricks. And he sat on a mound of soil for 12 hours at the armory writing and not communicating with people. So I won't go into it, but it was very interesting. He buried his wedding ring in the mound. There were all kinds of ideas for that. And then I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is so related to Navajo sand painting and also the mandalas from,
yes.
So it's nice to have it, kind of fall into our cultures that we've grown up with, fashion design and all. And,
yeah.
And I just remember Women Wear Daily showed up in St. Croix when I was teaching there and thought the teachers should all be photographed in their floral skirts. So that's as earthy as they got back then. So, that was my one touch with fashion.
Well, and of course the sand paintings are not allowed to be photographed. So, but it is that sense, like the sand paintings of the maidens at between the tide lines of you make it, it's beautiful, you're with it, and then it's gone. And, and the labyrinth, she said, there's no dress rehearsal for this. We can't pull it all into the middle and then go back again. So,
and then, I Googled it while you're talking, and the fashions are really unique and very graceful.
Yeah, that's another whole story of where, how they come and, yeah, but.
Yeah, I've just told my girlfriend, who is a fashion designer in New York, and she hadn't heard of her, so word spreading.
Thanks, Ivo. All right, peace.